Hello and welcome everyone, friends, family. If you are new and exploring the Beloved Study Church family, welcome. Or maybe you are new to exploring faith, matters of faith, big questions and spirituality, welcome online in these few moments with us today. We're truly glad that you are here today on the podcast, watching on YouTube. Thank you. This message today is for everyone. To the sojourner, the hurting, the confused, the exiled, the misunderstood. Today this will be your message of hope, friends. So often we want to avoid discomfort, don't we, and pain and irritation. But instead, when problems come, and they will, friends, use them to grow. Use them when others despitefully use you or hate on you. Love them. See, when you are broke and upset and going without, experiencing relationship problems, these are the things that you are wrestling and grappling with, but they are a fire, a refining fire that refines you into pure, precious gold, friends. You're not forgotten. You're not alone in this. So what do? We accept the challenge. We persevere. We do life and ministry with other Jesus followers. We look to Jesus as the author and the finisher of our faith. And we remember this world is not my home anyways. We're divergent, different, or becoming different from our host culture. Today, we are in part 4 of a teaching series, a micro series called Divergent. And if you are just joining us, we're actually looking at the high points from the book of 1 Peter found in the New Testament portion of the Bible. And as you look at the way Peter wrote this letter, he was very direct. How many like it straight? I like it straight. I'm not always straight up and direct myself. I'm working on it. I know Pastor Angela, she often reminds me, just say it straight. It's kind, clear is kind, right? Tell it like it is. You might know this about me, but I like to really think through things and I like to be like really, really prepared and kind of over explain things. I can just see my wife just like, come on, just tell me how it is right now. That's kind of how I'm wired though, right? Peter, he said over and over and over again that this world is not your home. If you are a Jesus follower, you are just passing through this temporal world. You are called to be set apart. You're different. You're divergent in your values and your faith and in your calling and today in your perspective. It's beautiful. You are called to be holy and set apart. And today I want to bring to you what I believe just might be the most encouraging message that you really didn't want to hear. Do you think that's even possible? The most encouraging message that you don't want to hear? Jesus promised us several different things. And first of all, what Jesus did not promise us, Jesus never promised us that everybody, everything would go right or everybody would be right. Or Jesus never promised us that it would not rain on your parade or on your vacation that you saved up for years. Jesus never promised us that you would never get sick, that you would never experience heartbreak by someone that you know and love so dearly. And Jesus never promised us that your roof would never blow off. Last year, my wife and I, it was a heck of a year for us in Alberta. We have a house in Alberta. It had plumbing issues, and then it literally had the roof blow off, the shingles blow off, I should say. And of course, it was raining too at that point. And the rain, that lovely water found it, so its way all the way into my second floor and damaged all kinds of things there. The furnace needed repairs. The fireplace needed repairs. The tenants, well, their marriage blew up, and you know they were great tenants who actually paid the rent on time and took care of the place. Now I might need, you know, the house we were renting in Ladysmith just recently. Before moving into Nanaimo, it was supposed to be sold. So we moved to find out, well, it didn't even get sold. So, well whatever, I guess. And then the house we just moved into, a couple months in, they're like, by the way, we're putting it up for sale too, and you might have to move again. Like, living in our new rented space to find out, oh, it's being listed for sale too. Now, great. Then I got in a car accident. Got COVID. Unable to work my job for a couple weeks. Grandma just had a heart attack. Friends, these are the things that are really going on in our lives. It's not easy, right? And sometimes we can grumble and we can complain. But these are things this is fire that's trying me and that's refining me and into pure gold, as Jesus would say, as God says. And you know what? It's not worth wasting my breath complaining about, as I know I'm not alone in facing trouble. Some of you have faced similar things, right? Or worse, the rest of you. And if you haven't had significant events that cause you to look up to God and say, God, I need you. Like, what the heck, God? You will. Trust me, you will. And I hope you will remember this moment. This message today that I'm bringing. Jesus never promised us a lot of things, but what he did promise us was this. If you are a faithful follower of Christ, if you are set apart, you're his, you're purchased by him. If you are a divergent and a devoted follower of Jesus, if you are, Jesus did promise us that the world would hate us and that the world would persecute us. They will call you intolerant and judgmental and weirdos. And that's why I'd like to welcome you to Beloved City Church today, where we are here to create a moment of impact for you, where the Holy Spirit can touch you and teach you and talk to you the most encouraging message that you never, ever wanted to hear. Today, I want to talk about a divergent perspective in persecution. And we'll start with the words of Jesus. Then we'll jump back into 1 Peter. This is what Jesus said in John 15, 18 to 20. Jesus said, "If the world hates you, keep in mind it hated me first. If they persecuted me," Jesus says, "they will persecute you also." Today, we're talking about divergent perspective in persecution. And what I want to do, in case you weren't here in the previous weeks leading up to now, is give you a little background on the context of the book of 1 Peter. Peter was writing this letter to first century Gentile Christians during a time of extreme persecution. These Christ followers were literally being tortured and killed under a very evil emperor named Nero, who, among many things, Nero killed his mother, and he also killed his first wife, Octavius. And many historians believe that he probably killed his second wife as well. He was absolutely evil beyond measure. And this guy, Nero, had an insatiable lust to build and to feel powerful. And when the Senate wouldn't let him tear down parts of Rome so he could rebuild it, most historians believe that he actually set fire to Rome, burning it down, actually. Massive fire that burned for days and days. And then when it finally went down, it re-sparked and burned more and more again. And then Nero goes on to blame these first century Christians, saying they're the ones who actually set this fire to Rome. So they were these people who were already greatly persecuted. Jesus followers then began to face extraordinary persecution under this sadistic evil man. Fast forwarding to today, and it really depends on what part of the world that you live in. In fact, Pastor Angela and I personally know many people who live or have lived in places where the persecution of Christians, Christians, is absolutely extreme. One of the stories that still makes my heart hurt today is one of our friends from Asia who now lives here in Canada, thankfully, had one of their babies ripped from the arms of their mother and thrown off a high-rise balcony to its death. Why? Because they refused to stop following Jesus and bow to whatever system that this country was requiring them to. They had chosen divergent faith and values and calling. Here in our part of the world, you might lose a job or a friend. And in other parts of the world, you are beaten and raped and burned and dismembered and hung and beheaded for simply choosing to follow our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. See, in our Western Christian culture, and I'm not really proud of this at all, friends, we don't understand this kind of fully devoted followership of Jesus. But just because we don't get it doesn't mean that Jesus isn't calling you and I to live divergent, separated, different, set apart, not the same, not blending in, not camouflaged Christians. No, friends, this world with all of its persecution, Jesus said, if you follow me, the world will hate you and you will be persecuted. And that's why today this will be for many of you the most encouraging message that you never, ever wanted to hear. All right, let us dive back into 1 Peter and see what he has to say about this subject, divergent perspective in persecution. I've been praying that Jesus would speak to you today, friends, that you would be encouraged in your faith today, leaving here with a willingness to live your life more boldly for the one who died to give you the life that you are designed to live in. 1 Peter 4 and 12, this is what Peter said. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial that when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. So don't be surprised. It's nothing weird. It's nothing out of the ordinary, he's saying. He's saying, friends, don't be shocked. I know you are hurt and rejected, maybe even afraid, but don't be surprised that if you are living boldly for Jesus, that you will face opposition. And here's what I would like to add to it as pastor of this church, along with my wife, Angela. If you are living divergent, acting and behaving different, if you are set apart from this world and host culture, don't be shocked when you are criticized, ostracized, rejected, kept at arm's length, mocked and ridiculed, ignored, or when you are facing spiritual opposition in your life. Don't be surprised. Many of you here might say, well, you know, I can't really think of a time that I ever really did face opposition for my faith. Or maybe you like to avoid conflict and opposition, so you burrow and go underground with your faith, right? So let's start there, and maybe let's try to understand why that might be. For example, let us use the sports world again for an illustration. Here in Canada, hockey is kind of a big deal, right? For others, it might be soccer or baseball or football. People engaged in playing the game every single week, competitively traveling, and there's always a winning or losing team, isn't there? And if you ever have ever lost a game, it's of course only because they were ripped off by a bad call by the referee or the coach, or my head wasn't in the game, or why would he call that play anyways? And technically we won, but in actuality we didn't win at all. So imagine I'm playing hockey, and imagine you are the opponent, the opposing team. You'd be the Calgary Flames, of course, and I'd be Oilers probably, right? Let's just say that you're on the ice playing, and I'm on the bench, and I'm not even watching the game, right? Not even paying the slightest attention. In fact, instead, I've got a bottle of Gatorade, and I'm actually busy playing bottle flip on the bench. Then I get bored of that and I get out my smartphone and I play a little game or taking a selfie for Instagram. And then I'm flirting with this really cute girl named Angela who's just sitting behind me on the bench. I'm not paying attention to the game, right? And if you are my opponent, are you even slightly concerned about me impacting the game at all or not? No, the answer, not at all. Absolutely not at all. I'm so distracted. I'm not paying attention. I'm not even a worry. I'm not even a bother. This is one of the reasons, friends, that at Beloved City Church, we actively work to create room for you to be in the game, to get off the bench and get in. You hear me say this all the time, right? To be actively engaged in what the church is designed to be, a place where those who are lost and far from God can come and meet Jesus for the first time. And some of you who have known Jesus for a long time, to come and to be refreshed, renewed, and revitalized in your life. Impacted for eternity by the Holy Spirit. From the parking lot to the media presentation to the kids' church, the entire thing matters. It's a game. Get in the game. Yes, you are on the Jesus team. You believe in Christ, but you're on the bench. In other words, you've got the jersey on, but you're not in the game. I mean, you'll come to church every now and then because you got to do that when you're on the team, right? You'll show up to the game, but you're not engaged. Some of you are still bottle flipping on the bench, distracted by whatever cares of the world, no matter life, lust, whatever. You're not praying for miracles and asking God to do something great in your neighbor's heart or in the soul and heart beside you, interceding on the behalf of others and boldly tapping into the power of God. You're busy bottle flipping on the bench, friends. Confidently going before a throne of grace and praise and worship. That's what we're called to do, believing that He wants to make a difference in the spiritual lives of those other people He actually put in our life. It's not happen chance that you're in a circle of influence, helping people in their time of need. Yet, if that's you, friend, if you're still on the bench, taking a selfie, bottle flipping, I encourage you to lift your eyes from whatever you're distracted by, friends. Take a step, get back in the game. Now, let's say that I'm a really good player. Maybe even got MVP of the year, right? Not a threat on the bench, of course. But when I'm in the game, I'm absolutely a threat to the scoreboard against the opponent. The same is true when it comes to spiritual things. If you are the enemy, He's not distracted nor threatened by benched Christians. No, He's got you exactly where He wants you, distracted and benched. He is only under threat by the fully devoted followers of Jesus who have got their eyes on Jesus. They're in the game. They're doing what they're called. Who are in the game and pushing back the very gates of death and hell, turning the world upside down, your little world upside down. And guess what? The enemy is going to do everything he can to stop me. Oh, yes, he will. Friends, you've got gifts and talents, but you're not using them to further the kingdom. You could make a real difference and you know it, but you let somebody else play instead. You're not giving generously. You may tip a little bit here and there, but you're not strategically and prayerfully asking God, how can I use what you've given to me, my time, my energy, and my finances, my resources to influence others for the kingdom of heaven, to be generous and make a difference in this world? This is divergent perspective in persecution we're talking about. You believe in Jesus, but you're not representing Him boldly. You haven't invited anyone to church to come to church with you. You're not sharing your faith, leading people to know Jesus. You've got the jersey on, friends, but you're not in the game. The same is true in this example, that your enemy takes no notice of you. Yet the moment you engage, friends, you have a spiritual enemy who takes notice and you will face opposition. This is the most encouraging message that you don't want to hear today. Imagine going to play paintball, getting into the game, and then coming back to the referee and saying, "Sir, they're shooting at me. I didn't expect them to shoot back at me," right? What would the referee say? What? Of course, what did you expect, friend? That's the point of the game. You shoot and get shot at. It's a battleground. Friends, we have to understand that Christianity, being a fully devoted follower of Jesus, is not a playground, right? Every day, people are dropping like flies around us, dying from overdose, drug overdose, and suicide, and natural causes as well. Friends, there is no time to waste sitting on the bench, sipping your latte. And you know, I know I love lattes too, but we're at war against an enemy against the forces of darkness that wants to warp and twist and destroy anything good that God has created, including your family and your children, your friends, your loved ones, anything that God's ever put into motion that's good. The enemy wants to destroy. We are in a very real spiritual battle. When you engage in the battle, you will face opposition, friends. I want to encourage you in that. If you've never, ever faced any sense of real spiritual opposition, it's actually quite possible that you are not on the front lines engaging in the battle in the way that God will want you to do so. That's why Peter said, "Hey, don't be surprised at the fiery trials that you're facing. Now, when Peter said fiery trials, it's very likely that he was being literal when he said fiery, because among other things, this is what Nero would do. This guy was absolutely pure evil, right? He would take animal skins fresh, so like cutting up a dead animal and put the bloodied animal skins around Christians and then put them into a cage and release wild dogs to attack and maul them to death as he watched on for entertainment. But the fiery part, it's very likely that Peter was referring to what Nero would do. He would dip Christians in hot wax and then put them onto a tree out in his courtyard and then light them on fire, essentially making a human candle, lighting the night sky as he would entertain with suffering and dying Christians. Fiery trials is crazy. And that's who Peter's talking to in this context. He says, do not be surprised at the fiery trial that you are facing, as if something strange were happening to you. If Peter was writing this message in the year that we live in, he would probably adjust the way he would say. Maybe if he was writing to someone in the Middle East, he might say, don't be surprised if you lose a loved one because of their faith in Christ Jesus. If he was writing to a new Christian in a predominantly Muslim country, he might say, don't be surprised if your family turns on you and you face extraordinary danger because of your faith in Christ. If you were talking to a young guy or girl in their first year of university, he might say, don't be surprised if you don't get a second date because you have a stance of purity and saving sex for marriage covenant. If he was speaking to you, he might say, don't be surprised if people make fun of you at Thanksgiving dinner because you're following Jesus and you skipped out on the family dinner because you are engaged in serving at your local church. Do not be surprised, Peter said, at the fiery trial that you're facing. You're in the game, friends. You're on the front lines. You're making a difference and you're rattling the darkness of hell. Don't be surprised if you face opposition. Then he goes on to say this, the most encouraging message you didn't want to hear. He said, instead, in verse 12, be very glad. For these trials make you partners with Christ in his suffering. Is that divergent or what? Be glad. Be thankful when you're persecuted for your faith. In this verse 13, but rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. You'll be partners with Christ, he's saying, and so that you'll have this wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it's revealed to all the world when he comes back for his bride. Why is it so many of us would say, well, I've never really experienced anything like this? Well, I don't think it's necessarily your fault, by the way. I think that culture is so convincing that the most important thing for many of us is the pursuit of comfort, right? Let's be honest. I would rather have a nice, comfortable conversation with you than one full of confrontation. I like confrontation. I'd rather have a nice, easy day than one that's full of pain. And comfort is something that we so often and readily will pursue, and at all costs. And even in the name of Jesus, we do. We pray like this all the time. God, help me to have a good day. God, I pray, bless us, keep us safe. Don't let anything bad happen to us. God, watch over us today. Bless this food, God. Help our kids. Protect us. Keep us comfortable and happy. Keep us safe. Essentially, what we want is, let's avoid conflict and pain and grief at all costs. Let's dodge any opposition. And so, therefore, we're going to take the path of least resistance. And that's what we ask God to help us do. You might ask, so how does this play out then? Maybe you're at a party and you kind of give in and you smoke or drink whatever they're smoking or drinking too. Why? Because you don't want anybody else to make fun of you. It's not that big of a deal, so I'm just going to fit in, right? Maybe it's you don't correct someone when they say a racist or sexist joke. You know it's wrong, but you don't want anybody to laugh at you. You don't want it to be uncomfortable, and so you don't say anything. Maybe it's that if someone asks you, hey, are you a follower of Christ? You'll say, yes. But you'd rather just not come out and lead with that, because at your workplace or school, you don't want people making fun of you or avoiding you. You don't want to be that guy or girl that they talk about and make fun of, right? We are in pursuit of comfort. That's what we are sometimes. In fact, friends, I want you and I to really think about this today. Comfort is an idol in our culture that our host culture is in fast pursuit of, worships, and our church culture more often reflects our world rather than Jesus. This would be kind of what culture says. Above all else, we're going to pursue comfort. I want comfort. I want to be happy. And so what do? We pursue comfort. It forces us in many ways to avoid opposition. We'd be passive aggressive. I don't want to be upset at anybody. I don't want to make anybody mad. You know, I just want to have a good day. But the problem with this is when we avoid opposition, our faith seems to weaken. We're not standing for anything. We're not passionate about much, right? And our faith, for some reason, we just don't feel so close to Christ anymore. And then we wake up one day and feel empty. Life feels so empty. There's got to be something more to life than this. So what do? I'm going to pursue more comfort. I'm going to pursue comfort in this thing, in that place, in this holiday, whatever that might be, this many likes on the Instagram post, that relationship that I'm trying to pursue, whatever it is. Maybe it will fill my void. Pursue comfort. Avoid anything difficult. What? Why don't I feel so close to Christ? I know. I need to have something else that just might make me happy. Friends, there's another way to live. But let me warn you, you will need to be divergent. And the only way you can really live like this is when you recognize that you are a foreigner in this world. You're a stranger, a pilgrim, a sojourner. And these are the words that Peter used. You're just passing through, friends. And furthermore, you actually come from a heavenly kingdom with a different king. And you serve a king that is not from this world. And his standards are very, very divergent. He, Jesus, teaches you to love when people hate. He teaches you to give even when people take advantage of you. He teaches you to turn the other cheek. He teaches if they ask for your shirt, give them a jacket too. I mean, his teachings are radical and completely divergent. When you are instead are living boldly and divergent for Christ, standing up, sharing him, not just his love, but his message of hope and healing too. Sometimes we can love people all the way to hell. That's not love, friends. Share the good news of Jesus and how Jesus changed your life. It is transformative, and we want to see those people, our friends, your loved ones, transformed by the love of Jesus. I don't live the way I did. I don't talk the way I did. I don't behave and engage in behaviors like that anymore. I spend my time and my money and my energy differently. And yes, we still live as a genuine expression of the love of Christ. And suddenly, when you live boldly, guess what you do? You do face opposition. The most encouraging message you didn't want to hear. Why? Because you're in the game, friends. You're making a difference. But the strange thing is that when you face opposition and faith tends to strengthen, there's something about it when you're living by faith, when you're on the edge, when you're comfortably uncomfortable, meaning that you're living by faith and not by sight. Then one day you wake up and realize, wow, I'm so much closer to God. I got this trust in God. I just understand he's guiding me daily. And suddenly you find yourself living even more boldly than ever before. Ask yourself in this moment, am I comfortable? Am I avoiding any kind of trouble? Kind of not really close to Jesus? Empty of life and pursuing comfort? Or are you living boldly for Jesus? Are you facing some opposition? Are you realizing even in this moment I'm closer to Christ because of my obedience? And Holy Spirit, even right now, is stirring you even more intimately to go public with your faith, to share your faith, to be a genuine expression of his love. The most encouraging message you didn't want to hear, that when you are divergent from this world, they will not always like you, but these trials will make you partners with Christ. 1 Peter 4 and 19. I think this is a highlight moment in this book. This is what Peter says. He says, so if you're suffering in a manner that pleases God, what does he say? Keep on doing what is right and trust your lives to the God who created you, for he will never, ever fail you. Keep on doing what is right and trust your lives to the God who created you, because he will never, ever fail you, friends. See, when you meet Jesus and choose to willingly surrender to him as your forgiver and leader, he does change your life. It is a darkness to light kind of change, a lost to found, a broken to healing, a blind to I can see, a spiritually dead to alive in Christ Jesus. And here is a principle that I try to live by personally in my life that just might speak to one of you here today. The principle is this: in every area of your life, in your family, in your finances, in your relationships, in your sexuality, in your work life, whenever you're peer pressured, in any area of your life, do what's right and trust God with the results. This is divergent perspective. Do what's right. What do you do? How do you live? We as Jesus followers, we do what's right and we trust God with the results. We don't cut corners. We don't take shortcuts. We don't try to do what we think will get us to the end result faster. Mm-hmm. We do what's right. We do our best. We choose joy. We love people. And we trust God with the results. We do what's right in our relationship. And we trust God. We do what's right on our taxes, even if it means it will cost me. We do what's right in our business, even if we need to have hard conversations. We have that hard conversation. If we have to confess something, we confess it. We have to stand up and say, I'm sorry, I can't do that, even though it may cost me when I do stand up. As Jesus followers, we do this. We do what is right, and we trust God with the results. As long as you're suffering for doing something good, keep on doing that and trust God. He will never, ever fail you. We are divergent, friends. We do what is right and trust God with the results. Friends, if you're like this world, the world will love you as its own. You will never be persecuted. If you are following Jesus, you cannot be like this world. You won't raise your kids like the world. You won't use your money like this world. You have different morals from this world. You have different values. You have different types of conversations from this world. You'll be different at work than in this world. If you are not like the world, guess what? The world will hate you at times. Is that fun? No, of course it's not fun. But the odd thing is it does something to you and you recognize that I'm a follower of Jesus Christ and this builds some kind of boldness in you. You are divergent. I've had people ask me, and you probably have too, if you've been faithing for more than a week, it looks like persecution is coming to our part of the world where I live. Do you think things are going to get worse? Are you nervous for your family? For me, the answer is nope, not at all. Not a bit. Doesn't scare me at all. In fact, to be quite honest, it actually excites me a little bit when I think there might be a little persecution that would stir the church. Because I would agree all day long that persecution never ever hurts the church. It always strengthens the church. Persecution doesn't weaken faith. It causes our roots to grow deeper in the things that matter. In fact, I think that where you and I live right now, it's so easy to claim to be a Christian that many people probably aren't. And when there's a little persecution, it puts some stakes to it, right? It matters. If we're followers of Christ, we are truly willing to stand for some things and to be persecuted, to lay my life down. This world is not my home. Are you like most people? Is life about you, your comfort? What can I get? Avoid opposition? Your faith growing weak? Your life is empty? And so you're on this continual pursuit of something that's going to matter? Or are you one that has died to yourself and Christ is living boldly through your friends? This is what Peter says as he's wrapping up this letter. And I love the fact that he's speaking to people that are deeply grieving, living under severe persecution. And watch what he says in 1 Peter 5 and 5 to 10. He says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. He says, so humble yourselves under the mighty power of God. And at the right time, our God will lift you up in honor. Now watch what Peter says. He says, give your worries and cares to God, because God cares about you. Some of you here with us in this moment, and many of you who are not, some that you know personally are hurting right now, are grieving, are wrestling and struggling through things. This is what Peter said. He was saying it to the people whose lives were at risk, really. He said, give your cares. And another version says, cast your cares. Like the Greek word literally means like a fisherman, to cast your nets on the water. He says, cast your cares on God. Why? Because he cares for you. Cast your cares on God because he cares for your friends. If you're living divergent, if you're being bold for Christ, you may face spiritual opposition. It may come to in the form of persecution. It may come in some other way. And then what do? You build your faith. You cast your cares upon him. And then this is how Peter is finishing his letter. He says this so beautifully. He says, so after you've suffered for a little while, this is what our God will do for those of you that are suffering. After you've suffered for a little while, God will restore. He will support. He will strengthen you, and he will place you on a firm foundation. After you suffer for a little while, friends, what will our God do? He will restore you. He will support you. He will strengthen you, and he will place you on a firm foundation. All power to him forever. Hear the word of God, friends. After you've suffered for a little while, just because you're suffering doesn't mean you're not following Christ. The fact that you are suffering may be a direct indication that you were in the game and there was spiritual opposition. And after you suffer for a little while, what will our God do? He will restore you. He will support you. He will strengthen you to you when you are weak. His strength is made perfect in your weakness, and he will put you on a firm foundation, the rock of his son, Jesus Christ. If you are continuing to do what's right and trust him, you will see the faithfulness of God. He will reveal himself to you. He will never fail you. He will never let you down. He will never leave you. This is our God, and he is a good God. He's worthy of praise. He's worthy of honor. And that's why we don't serve and embrace the customs of this world. We are set apart. God has called you to be divergent. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, empower us in this moment to do what is right before you, and help us to trust you with the results. If we're laughed at, if we're persecuted, help us to continue to show the love of Jesus, to let the light shine into darkness. Stir us in our hearts, Jesus, that we would live even bolder for you. Thank you for dying on the cross and making a way for me to be in relationship with you. Thank you for absorbing my sin, my shame, and healing me of my hurt, my pain, and my brokenness. I choose to receive this extravagant gift of life. I ask you to come and be the Lord and the leader of my entire life. I give you all of me, and I ask you that you would lead me, that you would walk with me, that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me live the life that you died to actually give me. Show me how to activate your word, your scripture in my life, Jesus. Reveal to us where we can walk in the freedom that you have designed us to walk in, the liberty. Holy Spirit, reveal any areas of my life that offend you, that I'm distracted by the world and distracted from you, Jesus. Help us to align ourselves with your will, your truths, and our pathway in Jesus, your pathway in Jesus' name, amen. Hey friends, if you just prayed that prayer with me for the first time and you would like to declare Jesus as your forgiver and leader today, let us know. We would love to walk with you as you explore what it means to walk with Jesus. If you'd like to publicly declare your decision to follow Jesus by being baptized as Jesus commanded, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved, let us know. We would love to walk that out with you. At Beloved City Church, we are passionate about what God has called us to do in Nanaimo and in around, to grow a thriving and life-giving church that is centered around Jesus, making an impact for eternity in us and others. Will you take a step today to partner with us at Beloved City Church. Help us grow the day-to-day ministries here. Here's how. At the welcome table, if you're a new person or online, join our big table family. Make it official. Sign up for the next Family Discovery Night. Discover what it means to be a family member of the local church. Join a grow team, the grow team, and help serve others. Serve back into the tables, the mission. Work alongside the team here at Beloved City Church. Let's make an impact together. And last but not least, friends, will you prayerfully consider worshiping God with your money, with your finances, by giving financially to support the work of Beloved City Church here in this city. Help us grow a dynamic Jesus-centered church in this city. So good. We love you. We are praying for you. May Jesus reveal himself to you in a special way this week. In Jesus' name, amen.